brought to you by the donations of our faithful partners.
Shalom and welcome to Wisdom and Torah Ministries. It is an honor and a pleasure to come back to you again, teaching you the wonderful works of the Torah. Now, in this series of teachings, we have been covering a lot of the principles and the steps of an ancient covenant in the Middle East. Now, this is very significant for you to understand, because the fact that Yeshua died and resurrected is very tied in and connected with this ancient rituals that they used to do in the Middle East. Now, we've been trying to take you back to Genesis 15, trying to explain to you what justification is, and all the makings of an ancient covenant, how Yeshua fulfilled every requirement. Who was the person walking through the pieces in Genesis 15? Now, today what I'm going to do, I'm going to retrace my steps so some of you who are starting from scratch, who sees this for the first time, can know and follow the sequence of what I'm talking about. So on the last program, I covered the beginning of the nine steps. Today we're going to start from the number one again, so we can expand a little bit more on it, okay? But before we do that, we want to establish how they used to do ancient covenants before. The way they used to do ancient covenants, if you want to come in covenant with me. So this is very significant that you remember. Why is that? Because many people, especially in the system of religion, they use the term covenant partners. I'm in covenant with you, I'm in covenant with you, I'm in covenant with you. But they don't really understand the severity of the word covenant, how important that word is in regards to ancient ways of doing it. People just throw the word covenant as if it's just, you know, a typical word that means nothing. That word comes in with a lot of responsibility, with a lot of commitment. And this is something we need to understand. In the ancient days, the way they used to do our covenants, if I wanted to come in covenant with you, first thing, we have to agree to the terms of a covenant. Okay? Let's go to the screen so you can see what I mean. You will take off a rope and the coat, which represents everything that you have, your whole being. You take off your belt, and in your belt, you have the sword, you have the shield, you have the money, all the things that represent that you would have to, if I have a need, you will provide for my need. Okay? If I was in trouble, you will fight on my behalf. Then you cut the covenant. You have to have animals that you can split in two, because it's ratified by blood. And then you raise the arm and mix the blood. Now, you also cut the covenant if you don't have animals that you cut in between, but then you also made an incision in your body, in your arm, and then you mix the blood. So therefore, his blood is my blood and my blood is his blood. It's like when you were a kid, you said it's like blood brothers, the same thing, until your mom and your dad broke it by moving you away. And then all of a sudden, then you exchange names. Then you make the scars so that way anybody will know that you are in covenant with somebody. That's why the Sabbath is so important, because the Sabbath is a sign of the covenant, just like circumcision is a sign of the covenant. You give the terms of the covenant. Terms of the covenant is the Torah. In this case, is the Torah. Remember, I've been telling you that the Abrahamic covenant is an unconditional covenant of grace, and I have explained that in the past, and I'm going to repeat it here real quick. It basically means that the word of the Lord walked through the pieces. The word of the Lord walked through the pieces, and Abraham was sleeping. Because Abraham was sleeping, and the word of the Lord walked through the pieces, and one of the steps of that particular ancient covenant is that when you walk through the pieces and you raise up your right arm and you establish the all of the terms of the covenant, the final word is, and if somebody breaks the covenant, may what happened to those animals happen to you. In other words, if you come into a covenant and you break it willfully, then you must die. And this is why Yeshua had to die. He had to die because he made a covenant and he walked through the pieces as the pillar of fire, but Abraham was sleeping. In other words, Abraham was not a partaker. He was not walking through the pieces in conjunction with the pillar of fire, with Yah. So therefore, whoever breaks the covenant, and Yahweh knew that Abraham's descendants will break the covenant. And this is the love of God, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. How great is the love of the Father that allowed his Son to walk through the pieces, his image, to walk through the pieces, his word, to walk through the pieces, so that he can come in covenant with a people that he knew, because he has declared the end from the beginnings, that he knew would break the covenant. And if Israel would break the covenant, then somebody has to pay. What's amazing is that the Son, the Word, was willing to stand in the gap. Was willing to stand in the gap because he loved Abraham so much. This is the incredible relationship between the Creator and us. Who is man that he should be so mindful of? Think about that for a minute. The fact that the Father, the Creator of the universe, is willing to put his Son on the line so he can come in covenant with us. So we are covenant people. That's very significant. Now, let me review again. Let me go back to the screen so you see what I mean. You make the exchange of names. You make a scar. You give the terms of the covenant. You eat a memorial meal. And then you plant a memorial tree. And the references I took from, you know, from The Miracle of the Scarlet Thread by Richard Booker, a very, very interesting book about ancient covenants. And I spent almost 5-6 months on the internet looking, researching, studying books, making sure that we're on the right track here. But this is very significant because I believe that understanding ancient covenants is the best way to understand the work of the Messiah and what he did for us on the tree. When he died and resurrected, everything has a purpose. The death of Messiah has a meaning. The resurrection of Messiah has a meaning. And the return of Messiah has a meaning. Let me put it in perspective for you. If Yeshua didn't die, then we cannot be justified to come into the kingdom. Because the 10 tribes of Israel were scattered all over the world. They were cut off because of their willful, rebellious disobedience. Now, when Yeshua came and he took the responsibility for the covenant as the word that he made with Abraham, then when he dies, he is restoring the covenant. And then when he resurrects as a new man to renew that covenant that he did before. So what's interesting is that there's not a new covenant. It's a renewed covenant that he was ratified by the blood of Messiah. Why the blood of Messiah? Because he cannot be a living, a human sacrifice. Human sacrifice is not accepted in the Torah. So how do you justify? You justify by the ancient covenants. In the ancient covenants, which the two parties, if one of them break the covenant, you have to pay with death. You have to become whatever animal was killed, now it becomes you. It's your blood that's shed, not the animals anymore. You understand where I'm coming from? Is this making sense to you guys? Okay, this is really significant. Why? Because Yeshua offered himself as a living sacrifice. Why would he have to do that? Because those were the terms of the covenant that the descendants of Abraham did not live up to. They broke the covenant, and because the pillar of fire walked for his own great namesake, by his right hand's sake, so therefore whoever walked through the pieces, and he walked individually, therefore must take responsibility for all of the covenant, whether good or bad. This is very significant. I hope this is making sense to you, because this explains biblically why Yeshua had to die and resurrect. Let me review. Let me go over the steps of this from the beginning so you have a greater understanding. We're going to take our time. If we have to go a few programs reviewing this, we're going to go over it, because I think it's extremely important that as believers in the Messiah, we understand why he is Messiah. Many people study and they believe. Oh, let me rephrase that. Many people believe and they don't study. Many people say they believe and they don't walk. Many people say believe, and when trouble comes, they run away. Why is that? That's because we don't have the evidence and the proof to back up what we believe. And I submit to you that you go and do research on this, and then you'll see the underlying theme in the Bible, understanding why Yeshua is the Messiah. Surely you have to know that there are proofs biblically. Can you prove them? See, telling me that you love the Messiah means nothing to me. Showing me how you love him is really what means everything to us. And this is something that I'm trying to relate to you. If we say we love the Messiah, but we don't treat our family right, do we really love the Messiah? No. If we say we love the Messiah and we don't know how to treat our neighbor and we don't know how to do this and we don't know how to do that, why is that? Because we are a kingdom without guidance. We are a kingdom without direction. Why? Because they told us from the pulpit that the Torah of Yahweh, the heart of Yahweh, is no longer relevant for you. That is done away with. So if you don't know the instructions, you know, you're never going to get to your destination. And this is why we have so many denominations teaching different things, when in fact all we have to do is just open scripture and allow the Creator of the universe to speak to us and just believe what he says. Act upon our belief. Walk, obey, and keep. Keep, obey, and do. That's really what the Torah says. The first step on the ancient Hebrew wedding, I was teaching about ancient Hebrew wedding, but the ancient Hebrew covenants, is taking off the rope and the coat. Okay, now, you find a glimpse of this in Genesis 15:1. It says, after these things, the word of Yahweh came up to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. Remember, when you take off the rope and the coat, within it you're going to put the shield, the belt, Everything, you know, is put together, and now he becomes our shield. We do a prayer 3 times a day, and the prayer goes like this. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, and the Elohim of our fathers, Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzhak, Elohei Yaakov, the great and mighty and awesome Elohim, Elohim supreme, who extends loving kindness and is master of all, who remembers, listen to this, who remembers the gracious deeds of our forefathers, and who will bring a redeemer with love to their children's children for his name's sake. And that redeemer is King, Helper, Savior, and Protector. Blessed are you, O Lord, Shield of Abraham, Adonai, the Hebrew letter there, Hebrew word there is Adonai. Adonai, Shield of Abraham. When you do that prayer, and we do this 3 times a day, and when we do this prayer, basically what we're saying is, when we're calling upon the name of Yahweh, and we call him the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we are calling upon the ancient covenants, and then we finish by saying that you are a king, our helper, our savior, our protector, and then you are the shield of Abraham. In other words, whoever will come against us, we will be victorious because you are a shield. You made a covenant. You are faithful. And no one can do away with Israel because he is the apple of your eye. And this is very significant because we do these prayers all the time. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 26. I want you to notice the language of covenant, help, support, sword. Okay? You're going to see that all throughout the Bible. When you see that cut covenant, walking through the pieces, you're going to see that that's how to do with ancient covenants. So let's go through here in Deuteronomy 33 on the screen so you can read with me. There is none like unto Elohim or Jeshurun, which is Israel, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help. See? And in the excellency of the sky. Now listen to this. The eternal Elohim is your refuge. Why is Elohim your refuge? Because he made a covenant with you. If he makes a covenant with you, he's not going to depart from you. He's not going to leave you. Okay? He's always going to be there for you. And it says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before you, and he shall destroy them. Verse 28 says, Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon the land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Okay? Happy are you. Listen to this verse. Happy are thou, O Israel, who is like you, O people saved by Yahweh, the shield of your help, and who is the sword of your excellency. That is huge. And it says, and your enemies shall be found liars unto you, and you shall tread upon the hard places. This is a promise. Why? Because he will fight our battles. In Psalms 28, verse 6 and 7 says, blessed be Yahweh, because he hath heard the voice of my supplication. Verse 7 says, Yahweh is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiced, and with my song I will praise him. Why is that so important? Because if you go back to the story of Abraham and Lot, you notice that every time Lot got in trouble, he went and gathered him. He went and fought for him. He didn't even worry about anything. He gathered his men. He jumped on the horses and went and got him in Lot. And Sodom, he went and got him with the kings. I mean, there was always a battle, and there was always trouble with the Lot. But for some reason, Abraham always defended him. Why? They were in covenant. They were in covenant. And the covenant, ancient covenants basically tell you that if I am in trouble, you are my shield. If somebody fights battle with me, you will pull out the sword and fight for him on my behalf. And we have our creator, the universe, who is our shield, who is our protector, who is our warrior. And this is why you see Yeshua coming in the clouds in the second coming. You see him with a sword that will proceed out of his mouth, and he will kill the enemies. Why? Because he is our strength, and he is our shield, and because we are in covenant with Yeshua. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it tells you that. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, says very clearly that Yeshua is, we are in covenant with him. It says that if you confess with your mouth that Yeshua is Adon, Master, and believe in your heart that Elohim raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The word confess there in Greek, one of the definitions is covenant. So when you accepted Yeshua, you came into an oath of a covenant, so that the system of religion would get you into a covenant with Yeshua as the Messiah, and then they teach you how to break it the next Sunday. That's not how it works. If you come into, it's like a marriage covenant. You get married, you have vows, right? And you put the ring, which is a sign of that commitment, and then you consummate it, and then you have a place to live, And then you have kids. What does that tell you? There's commitment. There's a covenant. You see, love doesn't keep you together. It's commitment that keeps you together. And many people don't understand that. So therefore, what happens if you get married and when you go to work, your wife takes off her ring, she leaves your house and she goes to sleep with somebody else? You're not going to be very happy. Chaos will come. The house will be divided. The marriage will be broken. And then what happens? Somebody's got to leave in your separation. But you see, so what happens now if you make a covenant with Yeshua as your Messiah and then you go worship on Sunday and you worship on Easter and you worship on those other holidays that are not biblically based? You're breaking covenant, but you didn't know. A lot of people have no idea they're doing that. Covenant is a very serious thing. Does it mean that we're better than you, that we're holier than you? Absolutely not. Because just as you come into covenant, we are the people of the book and we are in covenant. And the responsibility of being the people of the covenant is huge. And this is why our people, Israel, we have suffered. We have suffered through all the crusades, the inquisitions and all that. Why? Because some of the remnant of Israel, not all of Israel, have been completely faithful to the covenant. So therefore, judgment comes because the Torah becomes a conditional covenant now. The commandments of Mount Sinai becomes conditional. Why? Because he says, if you obey and you listen and you keep my covenant, then you shall be a treasure unto me. So you have to understand that ancient covenants, this is not a piece of cake. If you tell somebody I am in covenant with you, you better mean it. Because it means that if I have a need and I have a problem in my house and I'm in debt, I don't call you to ask you for money. Basically, I grab your checkbook and I write the check and I pay the bill. That's what ancient covenant is all about. You stand up in the gap for that person. If I would die, that person that I'm in covenant with will take responsibility for my family forever. That's what ancient covenants are all about. You know, so when people go around saying, I'm in covenant with you and I'm in covenant with you, please give me a break. You don't even know what you're saying. You know, this is some heavy duty stuff. I know people that go homeless and the system of religion does not support them. Why? Because it's only covenant one way. Give me your money. We are in covenant if you give me your money. And that is wrong. I am sorry. That is not right. You know, we have to know what the Bible says. If somebody tells you I'm in covenant with you, they better mean it. They're going to take care of you and you're going to take care of them. It's vice versa. Okay? Let's go now to Psalms 28 again. The second step, taking off your belt. Now, on the belt, the person had the money, the sword, and the shield. They exchanged it with one another to show how committed of the covenant they were. This is very significant. We see that in the story of, if we go back real quick here, on the story of Jonathan and David. And if you go to the screen, I want to show you 1 Samuel 18, verse 4, after Jonathan and David, they make in a covenant. He said, and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David. In other words, everything that I have on me is yours. And his garments, everything, my sword, even to his sword, his bow, and his girdle. And anything that he had on him belonged to David. That's a very powerful thing to do. Not everybody's ready to do that. You know, coming into a covenant, you're willing to give your house to somebody you don't know? Because you see, if you tell me I'm in covenant with you, that means, you know, if I give you the money because you're asking, this is what's happening, okay? I'm a covenant partner, okay? So the issue is this. If I call you a covenant brother and you ask me for money because you need it, and I give you the money, then you better need it. But then if I ever need the money, I'm going to call you and then I'm going to ask you because I also need my covenant partner to help me. And you better give me back unconditionally because this is a covenant partnership. And this is very important. We need to remember. The problem is that they call on you to be partners, but they don't give you when you need. They don't help the needy, the homeless, the widows. And then we wonder how come there's so much chaos in the system of religion, because we're taking something pure in the Bible and we have prostituted it to the point that we are basically taking everything from, we're taking the sheep, and we stripping him of his wool, and we're leaving the sheep without grass, without water, and without covering. We literally take even the wool of the sheep, and we don't even leave them protected anymore. And then we wonder why people don't want to accept the Messiah anymore. Because we don't understand how to serve Yahweh in his right purpose, in his right mind. He is looking for servants. He is looking for people who are willing to stand in the gap and basically help the needy, help the homeless, and help those things and follow the commandments like he says so. All right, let's move on. So as we go here and we take off the belt and then we cut the covenant. Cutting of the covenant. Cutting of the covenant, we're going to move now to Exodus 19. And in Exodus 19, we're going to talk about this for a little bit, okay? We're going to stay on the screen because I want you to see all the verses. I'm going to talk over the verses so you see what I mean. When you cut the covenant at Mount Sinai, that was a conditional covenant because they're trying to come into a covenant with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, okay? Because of the promise and the covenant that is unconditional on Genesis 15. The covenant he made with Abraham is unconditional, and because of that covenant, they're being blessed. And Yahweh is giving the children of Israel to come into covenant with Yahweh too. But this time is a nation. This time is conditional. You have to obey my commandments to be blessed. So the Torah is about blessings. You want to be blessed? You follow the commandments. Why? Because you love God and you want to delight in His commandments. That's why you do it. You see, He will pay the penalty for you. He will die on your behalf. Okay? If you break the covenant. He did that. But if you choose, if you want the blessing, and if you don't want the curse, you have to obey the covenant. So He has to teach you how to obey, right? So He loved Abraham so much because Abraham believed and it was counted unto him to righteousness that he was willing to walk through the pieces by his own great name. That even if Abraham's descendants will break the covenant, he will die on Abraham's behalf. Listen, I don't know about you. That's a true friend. Now I understand why in the New Testament and the Brit Hadashah, the New Covenant, you know, they call Abraham the friend of God. Why? Because he was willing to stand in the gap for Abraham. Now that's love. You know, dying for a human being, be willing to take the penalty of death for a human being. You know, the word of the Lord is not the Father here we're talking about. The Father has no image or form. Talking about the word of the Lord. Okay? So we're trying to explain some principles here. So, in Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6 says, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." So, if you do not keep the covenant, you don't listen to the voice, then you're not a peculiar people. You have to keep the covenant, right? And it says, "And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the children of Israel." But wait a minute. You will be a holy nation and a nation of priests only if you obey the voice and you keep the covenant. If you don't obey the voice and keep the covenant, you're not going to be a nation of priests. Very simple. Okay? That's a condition. Now, the altar. Why did they build the altar? Just like in Genesis 15. Just like in Genesis 15, when they would bring the animal and they cut them in half because they have to be ratified by blood. Right? So now they do the same thing here after the commandments. Chapter 19, chapter 20, verse 1 through 15, 16, or 17, 8. Now, that what they do, they ratify the covenant through what? Through the blood. So they build an altar, and there they do sacrifices, okay? So now we have an altar of earth, shall be made unto me, and shall sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, and thy sheep, and thy oxen, in a place where I have recorded my name, and I will come unto you, and I will bless you. Now, this is very significant, because now they're saying, we're going to ratify the covenant. Okay, you accepted the terms of the covenant. You were there. Now we're going to ratify how? Walking through the pieces. In other words, not 6 million people can, 3 million people cannot walk through the pieces. So he just do the sacrifice and the priests do the service. And then later on, you're going to see what happened in the wilderness. Now, Isaiah 42:6 says this, "And I have called your name in righteousness, and I will hold your right hand and keep you and give you for a covenant for a people, for a light unto the Gentiles." So the whole objective was that the children of Israel will be an example unto the world of a covenant people. That if Israel needed help, Yahweh would come and give them help so the whole world would know that the creator of the universe is their Elohim. That we are the people of the book. Okay? Isaiah 49:8 says, "Thus says Yahweh, in an acceptable time I have heard you. In the day of salvation I helped you." You see the language? The shield, help, sword. "I will preserve you and give you for a covenant of the people to establish the earth and to cause to inherit the desolate places." So here we have the whole myth that replacement theology has come up with, saying that, no, you know, the church is now the church and Israel's done away with. Well, you have to deal with Isaiah 49. Because you see, if the word of Yahweh makes a covenant with Abraham that is unconditional. In other words, I make a covenant with you forever. And this is why Paul is always telling you that we are the seed of Abraham. Okay? So therefore, if he comes into covenant with Abraham, and he says later on, I don't want Israel to be my people, and I completely do away with all of Israel, then he's breaking the covenant himself. And he can't do that, because he is not a man that he should lie. This making sense to you? I hope you're following me, because it's very significant. So let's move on. Isaiah 54, verse 10, and this will be my last verse for the day, says, for the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness... Listen to this. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith Yahweh, that has mercy on you. I don't care what anybody tells me. I don't care what replacement theology says, but I believe that Yahweh, the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is an Elohim of covenants. And he is faithful to his covenants. He will not break it, not because we're worthy, not because we're better, not for our own righteousness, and not because we're worthy, but because he is holy, and because he is merciful, and because he is just, and he has mercy. And I pray the Creator, and I thank him for the mercy that he's teaching us in this teaching. Come back. We're going to continue on the covenant of the pieces and the unconditional covenant of grace. Yahweh bless you and keep you. Shalom Aleichem. Hello, thank you for joining me, and it's a pleasure to be a teacher here at GLC. And I personally want to thank Al and Tommy Cooper for the opportunity to give us a chance to teach Torah and to bring the Hebrew roots into your homes. If you want to get in touch with me, you can go to my website, www.wisdomintorah.com. Or if you'd like to email me, you can email me at wisdomintorah@yahoo.com. Also, some of the other information will be there for you to enjoy, and PowerPoints and all the things for you. Yahweh bless you and keep you. And remember, everything that I teach, everything that I share with you is in my heart, so we can grow together, so we can learn together, so we can become spiritually mature for the coming of our Messiah. All I ask is that when you read something that I say, go back and verify everything I said. Do not believe anything that I said. Owe it to yourselves to only praise him, to give him the honor and the glory, because we are all servants of the Most High Elohim, Yahweh Tzevaot. Yahweh bless you and keep you.
This program was produced by and for God's